coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. Bang. I don't know what that was. I'm sorry. I'm punchy.
Apparently, yes, indeed. Welcome to Hey Kids Comics.
Bang, apparently. We say bang now. Yeah, we say bang now. So this is it.
Get a harumph out of that guy.
This is it. This is the one we're always super... This is the one where we think we're done. If you study the liturgy of our story arcs, Cole, this is the one where we think we're done, and then we remember we have one more. That's the way we always do it.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm Andrew Farmer. With me, as always, the Jedi Cole Houston. He's out there. I don't think he's...
I'm out here. I am so out here. I'm still recovering from the bam or the bang.
We do bang, bang, bang now. Finger guns. Hey, Kids Comics, bang, bang, finger guns. That's our new thing. You didn't get
hey,
my
Kids
memo?
Comics, bang, bang. He shot me down. Bang, bang. That awful sound.
Did my administrative assistant not get you the memo that we're doing bang, bang now?
Apparently not. You need to fire your administrative assistant.
I guess so. I'm trying over here. But yes, this is the last issue in a story arc of Cole's devise that has turned out to be really interesting. I think that we've gone some directions that neither of us figured we would go. We've traveled some roads, sometimes better left untraveled. But at least Eddie wasn't here to talk about how Otto Octavius took over Peter Parker's body and tried to have sex with
that was enough of that.
That was we drew the lines somewhere. Even we have a line.
Believe it or not, yes we do.
Right, even we have a stopping point. So, what are we talking about tonight, Cole?
Even with our Jack Sparrow style moral compass, we have
it just spins. That's right.
I don't know any of this. What is a moral compass? This is, of course, I'm still reeling. I wish I got that memo. I was ill prepared for this.
Bang. All right.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang.
So, finger guns.
That's right.
Pistol wink. Okay, this is Hey Kids Comics.
Pistol wink's your new nickname.
I can live with that.
Good.
I can embrace this. We are in the final chapter of Family Reunions. This is We a Family.
Right.
It started out as In a Family Way, and I decided that had the wrong connotation entirely.
Right. I don't know if anybody besides us would – I don't know if our listening audience would gather the same connotation from it.
Yeah, it just – at first blush, it would come across as like pregnancy in comics.
Which might be a good show.
That might be it that. We'll have to do Maternity Ward one of these days.
Yes.
Hey Kids Comics, the Maternity Ward. Hey Kids Comics number 407, the Maternity Ward.
It's all about 2022. And her fake kids.
Oh, wow. Robo-children.
That's right. How did that happen? Nobody knows. All right, so what are we talking about?
Are her kids like Transformers now or something? What happened?
Yeah.
I would like to see them grow from that into adulthood so that her daughter could become a helicopter mom.
Damn it. this show ends on this issue. I'll give you the rest of this issue, but after that, we're done.
Yeah, remember when we promised we were going to talk about Frank Miller's seminal epic 300? Not going to happen. We're not making it to 300 after all, kids.
We're not.
We're so close. This is 285th issue of the show, and we are going to talk about perhaps the oldest family in comics.
I think it has to be, yeah.
No, if it isn't, we're calling it the damn oldest family.
That's right. We do what we want.
This is my father's comic that we're talking about.
We're going to the wholesome land tonight.
Yeah, this is, we were having a bit of a discussion before the show as to whether or not this show had ever given coverage to Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And I was certain we did, and I realized after I did the research that Andy wasn't on that show.
That's right. I was on hiatus during that show. And I'll be honest, I'm remiss in my general Captain Marvel knowledge. I know enough about the character to say, okay, Billy Batson, kid, says the words. I know where he got his powers. You know, I know that he runs around with some other juvenile delinquents that sometimes, for some ungodly magical reason, either appear as children or as adults, depending on when it is, you know, with their certain powers that greatly mimic his powers, but I hadn't really done the research, and boy howdy, is it interesting.
Yeah, you stepped into a world you never knew existed, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, back in the Fawcett days, for sure. And some interesting corollaries that that I didn't even realize. Like the creation of Captain Marvel being, you know, pitched as a team story with six characters, and then whoever was the editor-in-chief of Fawcett at the time saying, you know what? No, take these six, make them one character, and that's how the six powers of Shazam.
Okay.
Yeah, these six aspects.
So it originally started out as the individual embodiments of those individual.
Yes.
Mythic beings.
Yes, basically that's correct. And he said, no, take these, put them into one, just figure out how to do it. And Shazam came out and Captain Marvel came out the other end.
Well, how brilliant, you know, when confronted with that, to come up with the anagram Shazam, and thank goodness it's not all, like, spelled out like S.H.I.E.L.D. with periods.
Right, right. So here's a thought, and so we're talking about the family, the Shazamly, tonight. So my first thought is this.
I just want to, for those who are just, you know, chomping at the bit and don't want to leave what they're doing, like you're listening, you don't want to have to go look this up. Shazam is taken from the wisdom of Solomon, the strength of Hercules, the stamina of Atlas, the power of Zeus, the endurance of Achilles, hopefully not the heel thereof, the speed of Mercury, and you put those, the first letter of each of these in a row, and you get Shazam, because after Atlas, Achilles was all they had left.
Also, it bears mentioning that it's... I guess it's sort of, I'm going to call it egotistical, for the guy that gives Billy his powers to make him say, say my name!
That's right.
What's my name?
Say my name. It should have Miyagi'd it, though. It should have been like, say my name! Shazam! Say my name! Shazam! Say my name! Is this going somewhere?
I also think that this serves as a public service announcement tonight. Only one in every 100 creepy old men who find you in a subway tunnel and want you to enter their secret lair have magical powers.
Oh, actually, the New York Transit Authority and the NYPD have issued a new statement. 117.
Oh, really?
It's been gone... adjusted. Okay. Yeah, there's been an uptick in creepy old men.
But that's kind of where it starts, right? Billy, like all of his, like all of our other, like, wait, so what do we figure? 4/5 of our family?
Yes. 80% of this story arc revolves around orphans. And that was completely – that is a Martha thing in its own right.
Yeah, I think we really need to look
at
this.
We really didn't think it through to the point that, you know, at the end of the day, it's a damn depressing group of families that had to find their own family.
Well, I mean, I think we should really look at – orphaned, you know, because almost every superhero at some point, regardless of at some point in their not in their childhood, right?
Yeah.
Just at some point in their childhood, were orphaned, and it's really weird. Like
the sheer volume of orphans in comics, it's almost like a, you know, there's a superhero orphan club or something.
I feel a show coming on.
Damn it. Well, hang on, we got the maternity ward, we got this damned orphan thing going on.
Damned orphan thing. You got it? Good. But yeah, it starts Billy is an orphan who lives in the subway. So he's basically a wastrel. He's a Dickensian character.
Oh yes. And had this been two centuries earlier, it would have been the wizard Fagin who found him, who wasn't actually a wizard at all. He's just this creepy old man who got kids to do his bidding.
I think there's a theme there. Isn't there, ultimately?
I think so, yeah. At the end of the day, crazy old wizards make kids do their bidding.
I think there's one through line to this podcast overall. Crazy old wizards make kids do their bidding. Alfred.
I mean, if you doubt this, as Jedi Cole, I can assure you, look at Obi-Wan Kenobi, who's just a crazy old wizard.
Making kids do his bidding.
Kids do his bidding. Oh, I could really use a ride to Mos Eisley.
Listen, I will make the argument.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to call the Imperial garrison and ask them to go kill your aunt and uncle so we can get this show on the road.
I'll make the argument that Alfred was a crazy old wizard making Bruce do his bidding.
That's true.
I can make that argument.
Master Bruce, on my deathbed, I'll admit, Joe Chill killed my parents too. It was you! You pushed me into this because you wanted revenge on Joe Chill, and you were an old geezer in your 40s.
Or just some revenge fantasy, some Charles Bronson revenge fantasy that he's been holding
Joe
on
Joe Chill
to.
Just fit the profile. It didn't matter.
Yeah,
who.
It doesn't matter.
It's like Memento.
It's exactly like Memento. But yeah, so orphan, living on the streets like a like so many Bon Jovi songs, and he's approached in the sewer by his first family member, or it's the subway by his first family member, a crazy old wizard say, come with me to the Rock of Eternity, and I will...
And you know, when you're in the subway, no matter, I think it was in Fawcett City in this case,
yes.
But the NYPD warning still bears out, that... When an old geezer comes and says, come look at the Rock of Eternity, 9 times out of 10, it means he's just taken Viagra.
Right. You don't want to be in – you don't want that.
No.
You don't want that.
But it was a more wholesome time when you could be lured into the subway by an old geezer.
I don't think that's true. I don't think there was ever a wholesome enough time that an old geezer could lure you into a subway.
Encouraged to follow old men to the subway.
Oh, we left our doors unlocked and we followed old geezers into the subway all the time.
That's right. They even had an educational film in school about it. Following old geezers in the subway on you.
That was a good warble. You had a good warble there.
Yeah, I needed to get the projector needs to be reloaded.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't think that there was ever an appropriate time to follow a lonely old geezer into a subway. Maybe that's me. Maybe I'm just thinking out loud over here, but I'm thinking that was never a thing. But yeah, so his first family member is a lonely old geezer in the subway that convinces him to say his name, and if he does, he'll get magical powers. So many things about this that I have to say that I don't even think I need to. Like, I don't even think it's necessary, Cole.
One's left kind of dumbstruck because I realize that you're rather to point there that there, I honestly, since the advent of the subway, there really hasn't been such a golden age.
So yeah, don't follow old wizards into
but
the subway.
But if you do follow someone into the subway and they're saying, you know, come see the Rock of Eternity, and they actually have, this gigantic cornerstone of solid rock.
Well, it's the one in 135 that actually has a Rock of Eternity.
And, you know, that sells it.
Oh, sure.
I mean, and it's important, though, to still confirm. Is it granite or is it paper mache?
Yeah, punch it once.
Yeah, just you know, it's worth the pain.
Just smack it around a little bit.
Because you don't want the alternative
crazy
old wizards.
No, because there could be three more crazy old wizards in that Rock of Eternity. You don't know.
You know, because we're probably just giving crazy old guys an idea here.
That's prime audience for this show. It's crazy old wizards living in a subway.
Like, finally, they told me something I can use.
I've been listening to this show for 4 years. Finally.
I'm going to the bodega to get some flour and some newspapers.
Flour. What kind of old-ass fucking Kenny Rogers paper mache are you making over there with flour?
You work with what you can. You know, that's what he can afford. 5-pound bag of flour. The sewer runoff and the New York Times.
And the New York Times. Just old New York Times is.
Yeah.
But first family member, crazy old man in the subway that gives him magic powers, is weird enough. But then we start folding in, you know, so he, and we're not going to get into the history of, apparently Cole recorded an issue that I blocked my own memory of in the 100s.
By virtue of not being there. What's interesting, though, just a brief bit of history to just set some context, is that this is a character that had his debut in the second issue of Whiz Comics.
Used to be Whiz Bang, Captain Marvel's Whiz Bang.
Oh, okay.
Different now. To a crazy old wizard in a subway.
That's true. That's another. But this is a story that was published in late 1939.
Yeah.
This is pre-World War II, post-World War I era, early days of comics in general, and the early days of the superhero.
And for what it is, for what we know about the creations of the time period, it's very intricate and very well thought out compared to, I'm going to say, a Superman or a Batman. Like, you know, they're pretty straightforward. This one is, like, deep. Like, they really do it up here. Somebody put a lot of thought and effort into the idea here.
Also, what an amazing concept in general, the idea of... You know, Spider-Man is often credited as being, you know, this is the superhero that could be you because he's your age or a slightly older if you're one of the youngest set. But, you know, guess what, kids? Fawcett did it first.
Yeah.
Granted, Billy Batson didn't have the level of teen angst, like wishing he could get a decent car. He wasn't like, it wasn't like the Karate Kid type of story. Where you're trying to fit in and trying to get a girlfriend and your choice of sweet old cars from a crazy old wizard. But it was, I mean, you know, Billy had a job with a radio station, for God's sake. But still, it was a boy that could then take on the mantle of adulthood like so many Tom Hankses and so many Biggs. I mean, it was literally like Big meets Superman.
But isn't it interesting? Isn't that dynamic super interesting? That,
yes.
That he's a boy trapped in a man's body with the JLA.
Exactly.
You know, like just hanging out with the JLA. I can't wait. And like you said last issue, it's very serendipitous that we're doing this now because it's on the heels of what looks like a great Shazam movie. A great Captain Marvel movie is being released with Zachary Levi in the main role. I think if anybody can pull off the juxtaposition, it's him.
Oh, I mean, if you've seen the trailer at all, just the level of fascination that is conveyed, this wonderful fish out of water is affected in every scene you see Captain Marvel in.
Right. It's
and,
so cool.
And plus, we're finally getting the Skrulls. Oh, sorry,
different movie,
different Captain
Sexy
Marvel.
Sexy Skrulls, too.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We'll talk about that at a different point, but I'm not real comfortable with sexy Skrulls. Like, Skrulls ain't supposed to be sexy.
What about Elijah or whatever? We'll get to that another day. Damn it, Sexy Skrulls.
Yeah, put down Sexy Skrulls. Somebody write down Sexy Skrulls. Take a note.
Hashtag Sexy Skrulls. But this is the beginning of the Captain Marvel family. It starts out not so much as a family. It's just Billy.
Billy until his, I guess, now twin sister, then. You also have to figure, so at some point after Creepy Wizard Man finds him and gives him powers, he gets adopted into foster care. And then he has a million foster brothers and sisters.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, apparently the foster system in Fawcett City is just a matter of – it's what's the old Abraham Lincoln line? It's like sweeping fleas across a barnyard.
right. Like,
it's just like they're tossing kids everywhere. It's like he barely has time to adjust to one family, and then he gets another one.
But he has a bunch of foster relatives, and just starts pulling them into his weird old wizard world with him. I think the first was Mary. I think Mary was the first one that he brought in with him, who figures out who he is, and he can now. I think it starts with him being able to share powers with her.
Yeah, the idea I always had in my mind was, and I'm not sure if I'm channeling something else here, but it was like there's a certain finite amount of Shazam power out there.
Right.
And once you bring somebody else in, it's like, you know, you get this really big glass of milk or something, and you decide to share it, and then you have to share it again. The glass isn't as full, same size glass, but there's not as much in it.
Right. It's for those of you that don't follow the Iron Fist mythos, it's like the Iron Fist. The more people at any given time that have the Iron Fist dilutes the Iron Fist, which is interesting because they're kind of doing something akin to that in the season two of the show, but not really. But in the comics, if Pappy Iron Fist comes back from the dead or is time displaced, the Iron Fist gets diluted. It's kind of the same idea. But yeah, she gets all of this stuff as well, which is fairly interesting. Later iterations, she's a long lost super or a long lost identical twin of Billy Batson that they just happened to find each other.
Well, that's when they were channeling that movie Three Identical Strangers. They were part of that where they would separate the twins and triplets and stuff at birth and put them in different socioeconomic families so they could experiment.
And now we get to the one
that
confuses me the most. Well, that's not true. That's not true. This is the most.
No,
there
are more.
Do a litany.
Far more confusing. Yes,
do a litany. I do want to talk about Freddie Freeman, which Freddie Freeman is like a jackanape, like a gutter snipe that is a kind of adopted. Again, I think he was a foster kid that was adopted in to have the powers. But my problem with Freddie Freeman is not that he has the powers of Shazam, not that he has Captain Marvel powers, right? It's that he's referred to as Captain Marvel Jr.
I think that's where a lot of people get a little confused, because there is no, as far as we know, there's no, you know, family proper relative there. He wasn't like, yet, because Captain Marvel himself is presumably some sort of construct of magic.
Right.
It's possible, since, you know, he is based on a lot of the Greek mythos, and that was a randy bunch.
Oh, they were, for sure.
It is possible that Captain Marvel Jr., the incarnation of Freddie Freeman as a strangely not quite adult, like, he gained like a year. You know, Billy Batson gained like 27 to 38 years.
But that's my problem, right? Is that...
And then Captain Marvel Jr., yeah, is like, is he actually the son? Is it like some sort of weird mystic bonanza going on behind the scenes?
Is that... Guess who else is Captain Marvel Jr.? Captain Marvel. He's 12 or 13 or 14 years old. They're both juniors, you sons of bitches.
Well, I think... I always got the impression Freddie might have even been older than Billy.
I would agree with that. Yes. Yes.
So then, and then he gets saddled with Junior, like, oh, guess who got to meet Shazam first?
Now, I think that those four, well, with the exception of, I think, one more, make up the core group of the Captain Marvel family. So the Wizard, Billy, Mary, and Freddy are kind of the core four of that family. Is that, am I correct in that?
Except, like you say, there is one more. If you look at what was traditionally, like if you Google Marvel family or Captain Marvel family, even if you don't see the Wizard Shazam, you'll always see four characters.
Okay.
You'll see Captain Marvel,
yes.
Mary Marvel, Captain Marvel Jr., and inevitably You know, we've talked about weird uncles.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to talk about him, though.
And this, as weird uncles go,
I don't want to talk about him, though. I was gonna not talk about him because he's creepy. All right, go ahead.
I don't think you have a choice here, because among the ever-growing Marvel family is Uncle Marvel.
Yes. Oh, Uncle Marvel.
Uncle Marvel. Interesting. Kind of frightening character. He's the other type you meet down in the subway.
Yeah, so he's the 134 weird old men you meet in the subways.
And Uncle Marvel, Uncle Dudley, as he's also known.
I don't like that either.
Yeah, it makes it actually a little worse. I wish I'd thought that through. The first time I'd ever seen Uncle Marvel was in a comic, it may have been Crisis on Infinite Earths or something, where, you know, DC was bringing the Marvel family to the fore, finally, in their own, since they pretty much railroaded Fawcett out of them, which, if you go back and listen, I'll have a link to the Beyond the Big Red Cheese, so you can hear a little bit about that unsavory history. But everybody is saying Shazam, and a lightning bolt is transforming them into the core family. Meanwhile, Dudley's there dropping trowel.
Oh, nice. Great.
Because Dudley isn't imbued with the power of Shazam. Dudley is one of those frightening wannabes who dresses in Shazam costume underneath his clothes.
Right.
And doesn't bother to look for a phone booth. I mean, in all fairness, he's dressed underneath, but how you put, you know, calf-high fold-over boots under your pants and your loafers, I don't know, but and the flowing cape, he's got it all. I mean, I'm surprised he's not stopped for shoplifting everywhere he goes. Like, oh, terribly sorry, crazy old man dressed as Shazam underneath your clothes. I mean, if you think about it, it looked like you were trying to smuggle something out of here. Because
was it? And he was constantly like trying to pull a fast one in the worst possible way on the rest of the Shazam family, like trying to have people get kidnapped, like trying to set people up, you know, like it's gross. Like he's a gross man, and they keep him on as their quote unquote manager. Why the three of them need a manager is beyond me. But
well, I think every Partridge family needs a Reuben.
But okay.
if you really want to delve into why do we need a manager at all, every Partridge family needs somebody to ride the bus when mom's not feeling well, or drive the bus. And apparently Dudley was the janitor at Billy's school, which makes it even creepier still.
Well, he lies to Mary and says they're uncles.
Yeah.
And they're not. They are not. They are not related. That's gross. He's a gross man. He's gross.
And then he further points out that he doesn't have superpowers because he suffered from a Shazambanga, or a Shazambago.
Yeah, I don't know what Shazambago.
It apparently is something that robs you of your superpowers if you're genuinely, according to him. And then it gets worse because apparently he has an adopted niece. How do you adopt a niece?
I don't know.
Known as Freckles Marvel, a.k.a. Mary Dudley.
I don't know. But, you know, and then it goes, and then it gets a little more, it goes back to being a little more wholesome because you got characters like Hoppy.
Hoppy the Marvel Bunny, a pink rabbit, presumably conjured up from one of Uncle Marvel's crazy drunken dreams. Yeah, it's like an Easter Bunny Marvel.
But, you know, at the time, you had a lot of animal mascots. You had your Mighty Mouse, and you had your... So it makes sense for the time period, but it doesn't make much sense in a continuity that doesn't have other talking animals.
Yeah, I think the thing was, in a way, Captain Marvel was trying to be all things to all people. And, you know, there's a kind of innocence about Fawcett Publications not giving a rat's ass.
Sure.
they weren't trying to live for Khonnu. They were just telling fun stories, and they were selling the crap out of them. I mean, from his first appearance in Wiz Comics number 2, it was a huge seller. I think it was like 200,000 copies, which is like, you know, the Jim Lee X-Men number 1 in more contemporary setting.
It was inflation, right.
Yeah, as a record breaker. There's all kinds of other Marvels, it turned out. A lot of them were kind of introduced more recently, but I like the fact that some of them kept the alliteration, even though they were part of the Flashpoint miniseries.
Oh, so here's what's interesting about that, right? I just wanted to give you a little bit, give everybody a little bit of background. Do you remember what I was saying at the beginning, where it was all five of the, or all six of the characters, when they were pitching the idea that it was the six characters that they were trying to put together into one, and that's how Shazam was created. That's how Captain Marvel was created. What's really interesting, the Ibis, okay, so the original six were Ibis the Invincible, Spy Smasher, Golden Arrow, Lance O'Casey, Scoop Smith, and Dan Dare were the six that were going to go into this book, and then they said, no, we'll combine them and make them into Captain Marvel. In the New 52, they broke all that down again. And if they all – so it's all six of them become Captain Marvel. So they went back to the well, looked at the original creation of the character, and gave homage to that, which I think is really cool. But go ahead. I just wanted to put
That's quite right. I just love the fact that some of the characters' real names were like Pedro Pena and Darla Dudley.
Yeah.
That they kept that sort of Billy Batson, Freddie Freeman – I think Mary was Mary Bromfield, so she really didn't carry that through when she was introduced. And then there were Lieutenant Marvels, like Tall Marvel and Fat Marvel.
Right.
Unibrow Marvel.
Fiesta Taco Marvel.
My personal favorite is the, I kid you not, Hillbilly Marvel.
Yeah, well, they were all Billy, right? So Billy.
Oh, there was Tall Billy, Fat Billy, and Hillbilly.
And Hillbilly.
Yeah, and Hillbilly was actually from Appalachia.
So
it was sort of like the Catskills of the South.
Oh, damn it. Damn it. I hate you. There is one that I do want to dig into a little bit. And I think we're better served to do it earlier than later, okay?
Certainly, absolutely.
I don't even know where to start with this, but I think we really need to talk about hot on the heels of Hoppy the Marvel Bunny, a character that makes
I know where you're headed now.
Little more sense than that, yet somehow works, right? And I think it works because, as portrayed in the comic, everyone is kind of freaked out by this character. Versus Hoppy, everybody just kind of accepts as a flying bunny.
Yeah, I think he's just sort of all part of a mass hysteria or something.
And that would be Talkie Tawny.
Mr.
Talkie Tawny, the almost anthropomorphic talking tiger that Captain
Mr. Talkie Tawny is kind of like, you know, F you, Calvin and Hobbes. Mr. Talkie Tawny outdates you by decades.
My favorite thing about Talkie Tawny is he is the DC Comics equivalent of that Macklemore song thrift shop.
Well, he literally, this demon apparently rendered a stuffed toy not only sentient, but people-sized.
Right.
Because I don't think, if I'm not mistaken, Talkie Tawny did not start out life as a 5'7" stuffed animal in a rich kid's bedroom. He was just like a normal, reasonable stuffed animal that in the 40s would have cost, set you back 37 cents.
Sure, sure. And then he...
Damn, I was spending 37 cents on a stuffed animal, but...
And then he started smoking stogies and dressing like a sportscaster and saying, F you, I make this look good.
Yeah, he was. It was sort of like the Herb Tarlick collection.
Shit.
Apparel.
I think that's the first WKRP in Cincinnati reference.
That probably is. That was at the end of every issue. It said, Mr. Takitani's wardrobe supplied by the Herb Tarlick collection.
God damn it. God damn it. That's good.
And Botany Bay.
That's good. That's good. It also bears mentioning that as we talk about Billy Batson Shazam, he also worked for a newspaper.
That's right. A lot of newspaper. It's like 60% newspapers, 80% orphans.
This story arc, 60% newspaper, 80% orphans, 1% kindly old wizard.
That's right. I guess, like, was it 40% science geniuses?
Well, I mean, isn't Captain Marvel a genius? I mean, he has to be. He has the intelligence.
Well, he has the will and wisdom of Solomon. But
it doesn't say anything about intelligence. Just
yeah,
wisdom.
Wisdom don't necessarily set your VCR clock, does it?
No. No, it does not. But I do like the lieutenants. They're pretty great. Like they're pretty rad. That's funny.
I think Hillbilly Marvel was Billy Guthrie.
Was Billy Guthrie.
Billy Guthrie. Now let X-Men fans work that one out.
Damn it. Damn it. He's nigh invulnerable when he's...
When he's Captain Marvel, yeah.
When he's Captain Marvel. But yeah, just so many weird, like, orphan family members that they've, put into this family. Because, there are others, too. There's Tannis and Thunder and, like we were saying with Captain Marvel Jr., it's very bizarre... That's the way they share powers, but also in the most like we said last issue, in the most wholesome way possible. Like even was he in Crisis?
Captain Marvel?
They have.
Yeah, in fact, that was they established his presence in the DC universe through the vehicle of the Crisis on Infinite Earths. Captain Marvel family et al. Existed on Earth F, if I'm not mistaken.
For Fawcett, right?
For Fawcett, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And that's how, that was literally, the Crisis on Infinite Earths in the early 80s was the entree of the Fawcett characters in the same, which they had kind of co-opted via litigation, in the same way that the Charlton characters, which they'd actually purchased, were also folded in, and they had their own Earth. It wasn't Earth-C, because that was already taken, but we'll just say 9 for the sake of argument. That they basically, that's how they brought him in. That's why you get Captain Marvel in the JLA all of a sudden.
Right. Yes,
or
yes.
Captain Whitebread, as Guy Gardner would call him. One of the things that was interesting in looking over some of the characters and history of this fits very well, is, every family has some skeletons in the closet, some embarrassing history. And I wish I'd known about this back when we did our Minority Report issue. A character called Steamboat.
What? Shit, I did read about Steamboat. Yes.
American valet to Billy Batson and Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Was depicted in the most, stereotypical way for its time. In the 40s, and certainly, something that would never fly today.
I don't even know if we should really touch on Steamboat, but that was definitely...
I had to mention that in passing, because every family has those little embarrassing bits of history that they'd like to forget.
It definitely was a caricature, let's just put it that way.
Yeah,
in the worst possible way. And they dropped it pretty quickly, too.
Yeah, he doesn't have the kind of lasting impact, and thankfully has not been revisited in the way some other kind of silly and playful aspects. Because probably the hardest edge thing they had back then was Captain Nazi.
Yeah, which is a softball in 19, I think it was 41. I think that's a pretty big softball at that point.
So yeah, that's as close to edgy as they ever got. It's like, they had a way for Captain Marvel to fight the Nasties. But, we've talked about the crazy uncles in every family.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And as crazy uncles go, I mean, yeah, we had Uncle Marvel, but that's not the crazy uncle in this family.
No.
The crazy uncle in this family is one Thaddeus Savannah.
Oh, you're going that route. I thought we were going to go literal crazy uncle. But yes, please, talk about Savannah.
Dr. Savannah is the embodiment of the pulp or comic book mad scientist.
Yes, I agree with that.
He basically spends his everyday, you know, he's the professor from Felix the Cat. He's in fact, he literally is the professor from Felix the Cat because he has a sidekick who's just a big brutish idiot. I believe Sabek is his name.
It's Sabek, yes, it is.
And, you know, Sabek is his rock bottom. But, you know, that's all he does, just sit around and scheme. He has Wile E. Coyote syndrome.
That never seems to work out.
It
never gets close.
Why do I keep buying from Acme?
Because they're cheap, boss, and you could do more stuff.
You actually do have a brain.
Wasn't he the one? He's not the one. What was the other? What was the other Captain Marvel villain? Didn't he have a villain that was basically just like a caterpillar?
Oh, yes. In fact, often working with Savannah was none other than the alien Mr. Mind.
Okay. I knew that he had
Mr. Mind was the most cartoony-looking caterpillar.
Caterpillar.
But what's interesting is when DC began publishing, I think it was in the Power of Shazam, they actually very cleverly brought Mr. Mind back. And his giant cartoony eyeballs with the, you know, huge white circles with a black dot for the iris were markings like you would see on a fish or a caterpillar.
Oh, nice.
So while the alien was caterpillar-like, those weren't his actual eyes. They were just these giant white patches of pigment on his skin to make him look. Presumably, you know, there were hornswoggles and vermicious canids and what have you from whatever planet he was from that would. But yeah, he was like this psychic or but in the comics, he was also depicted as not only being a cartoony caterpillar, but he had an old timey arch shaped radio for a necklace through which he communicated.
That's awesome. Yeah, that one always struck me as a real weird one. Yeah, Mr. Mind was always one that I was like,
There was like Mr. Atom was this colossus of a robot with a drill-shaped head, you know, pointy head. And you know, there was just so many characters that were, what was it? They actually used one in the New 52, or in 52, one of the Sobek, which is actually the name of an Egyptian god that had the head of a crocodile. But Sobek in the comics was a cartoony-looking alligator.
Right.
A crocodile, rather. And when they brought him into New 52, they made him more of a sentient crocodile, crocodile.
He was like an anthropomorphic crocodile man.
Yeah. So instead of being the crocodile guy from Ball Fondlers on Rick and Morty, which, I mean, if you've seen that, that's exactly what Sobek looked like in the 40s.
Right.
You know, if you've listened to the show before, you know I love when something's retooled in such a brilliant way, and they take the ridiculous, as has been done countless times at DC. It's just beautiful, in my opinion. But, you know, we're here to talk about the family, and I think, you know, the weird uncles have always been the arch enemies, and I think as much as Black Adam is a major player in this mythology,
right?
Bottom line is Thaddeus Savannah is the weird uncle because he always shows up. He never, you know, he'll go and get KFC for the covered dish.
Right. He doesn't want to be the whole thing about Savannah is he doesn't want to be ignored. You know, he wants to be invited to the party. But I do think that we need to spend some time right now as we start to close the store on the literal uncle, on Black Adam. Because Black Adam is cut from the same cloth.
Yes, he is. He is actually, as family goes, if Billy Batson slash Shazam as an entity has a true family. It is those imbued with that power, and Black Adam is the bad seed in the family.
Yeah, he's been portrayed as an anti-hero. He was a villain, definitely, and it makes sense. You need somebody that has the same powers to contest, you know, because otherwise Captain Marvel would be...
Yeah, because I'm sorry, Mr. Banjo is not going to go toe-to-toe.
But it's interesting that
that's for you, Bobby Blakey.
Mr. Banjo. That they gave him a Black Adam, and they never really gave Superman until much later.
Yes, an anti-Superman.
Yeah, an anti-Superman to fight. It makes
which is rather remarkable considering that, I guess, you know, they couldn't, at the point that they became contentious, that Shazam was a ripoff of Superman, which I'll just drop in this piece of history from the from that prior episode over 100 ago, that DC sued Fawcett years and years after Fawcett was publishing Captain Marvel comics.
Right.
Solely because Captain Marvel outsold Superman on a monthly basis.
Really?
And that could not stand.
Yeah. So the anti-Marvel family, I guess you could call it.
Yes.
The Black Marvel family. You've got Black Adam. Oddly enough, freed by Dr. Savannah. So he was exiled, only to be freed by Savannah and brought into what we would consider the modern times, because he was an Egyptian wizard that took the powers into his own and basically just, you know, decided fascism was the way to go and just used his powers in the worst possible way. Then you've got the Almighty Isis. A character...
Almighty Isis?
Almighty Isis. Again, another Free Enterprise reference, if you if you haven't watched it yet.
God bless. Yes, please, go now. Find it.
We'll keep beating you over the head with it until you do. But literally, Isis in the comic is the Almighty Isis of the TV series. That's the same Isis. And she was the Mary Marvel of the Black Adam group.
Exactly.
You know, created in the 70s. She was sort of supposed to be the anchor to keep Black Adam interesting and not have him go full bad guy. Full Ed 209 on that ass. And then you've got...
And she has that same sort of transforming from mortal to...
Yes. She absolutely does. And then you've got Osiris and Sobek. Osiris is the Black Adam Jr. But Osiris gets... Here's what's interesting, is Osiris gets his powers by saying Black Adam.
Well, actually, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Mary Marvel and Captain Marvel Jr., where he says Shazam, they both say Captain Marvel.
Really?
Yes, indeed. As I recall, that was the case. They actually have to say his name as their power key rather than Shazam. And I think that Uncle Marvel still said Shazam because of his strange delusions.
Right. And it bears mentioning that Sobek was created as an analog to Talkie-Tawny.
I felt that might have been the case, but I didn't really make that connection.
Yeah, so Sobek was the Black Marvel family's Talkie-Tawny. So that's interesting, I guess. I think. I'm not sure, but we'll call it yes. We'll call it interesting. So we're at the end of this story arc, Cole.
Yes, indeed. And I stand corrected. I did a quick check. Mary actually says Shazam.
Okay.
And I'm trying to see if Freddie had to say Captain Marvel. Yes, Freddie was the one who says Captain Marvel.
That's really interesting. That's actually so it's really interesting.
Yeah, for some reason he hits this different power word.
That's really weird, but I'm into it. So I'm going to ask you, Cole, what did we learn? What did we learn in the last...
We're going to look over the entire arc. Before we do that,
first
issue of this arc.
Okay.
You were looking at the Batman family from the Your family kind of aspect.
Right. Yes, I was.
The mob family. And I think we took a look at other family dynamics, as I recall.
Yeah.
Some of the other issues that just escaped me at the moment. Right before the show, Catherine was trying to get her head around the whole Captain Marvel family thing, which, you know,
it's
as a partial outsider, is a tough thing to do.
Right.
It's hard to really work out what's going on with that family. And then she was starting to do this play on words about genius and genus.
Oh, like man.
The taxonomy.
Yes, yes.
And then we were trying to work out from family, which is third from the last, when you're working out taxonomy from kingdom to phylum to, to class, to order, to family, to genus, to species. If it's the Captain Marvel family, then is it Billy Batis, the Captain Marvelous? Is it the Captain Marvelous is the family?
Yes.
Billy Shazamus the or Captainus.
Okay.
Billy Batius.
Captainus Billy Batius.
Yes.
But what's really interesting
is the actual taxonomy. If you're looking at wanting to work out the family, genus, and species of Billy Batson as Captain Marvel,
the comic started as Captain Marvelous.
Oh, really?
And it got shortened to Captain Marvel. So I think you might be onto something, Cole.
Oh, so in this case, it's an interesting thing because it started out in the it's of course the Kingdom of Comicus.
Sure. It's under the Kingdom of Comicus.
Yeah, at one point the phylum was actually it was one of those things that occasionally happens in taxonomies. The phylum had to change. It was originally Faucetus and then became Decius.
That's true. It got refiled.
Yeah. So there you have it. That's ridiculous.
You guys think too much.
A ridiculous pseudoscience that goes in when you have an armchair naturalist at your disposal. This is the stuff you get.
That's right. I love it, though.
The natural history of Captain Marvel.
So what did we learn here? Like, what was your overall takeaway from the last five issues?
Well, I think for me, what this arc did was exactly what I was hoping for, is to illustrate and to explore the nature of family. What do we define as family? Is family blood? Is family affection and connection?
Right.
And is it a combination thereof? And what do we call our family? And, you know, or in the case of Black Adam and Osiris, I have no fake son. He got really upset with Osiris for something he did that was nice.
Yeah, do you remember that? That was disturbing. Black Adam in New 52, or I guess it was just in the 52, the run up to the New 52, to the launch, to all of that, or Infinite Crisis. It was the run up to Infinite Crisis, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was super disturbing. They did Black Adam in a really insane way. If you haven't read it, you should.
Absolutely, but I think in the end, what this is, what the intention was, what it became, is truly an exploration of family as defined by the family itself.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
And how do we arrive at those we call family? And, you know, from those we're born into to those we choose. And that was what I was seeking here, but also because there are so often, as I was explaining to Catherine earlier, that we're looking at family in the sense of the overarching collection of characters. And that's why you used to get books like the Marvel family or the Batman family or right. Superman family. It was those books and musing on that dynamic that led to this arc in the first place.
I agree. Yeah. Couldn't have said it better. It's a great way to close this out. Next week, we've got a show that I could not be more excited for. I'm very, very excited. And honestly, it was kind of – I was thinking about this today as I was gearing up to do some research for it. it was kind of the catalyst. It was one of the I think one of the catalysts for this show's creation was, you know, was the idea of what if, right? Not who wins, but like, you know, why? You know, could we turn this on its head? Could we make this more interesting? You know, can we break it down piece by piece? And I could not be more excited to do a what if issue. Like, I think it's going to be awesome. It makes me very excited.
I think 285 issues in, it's really high time we talked about one of the most successful and iconic ventures at Marvel that took a – well, tune in next week. Yeah. You'll find out what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like, you know – yes.
And certainly my formative comic book years and as far as comic – what I'll call comic critical thinking – you know, I think it led to a lot of that. So I'm very excited for that. Cole, thank you for an amazing 5-issue arc. I wasn't super into it when we started, but now,
you discover something you didn't know was there.
Exactly.
And a lot of it is you have to have that entree into the way my mind works. And this is the way my mind works, is these strange disjointed arcs that suddenly become, they gel, and you find yourself in the middle of something you didn't know was ever there all along.
Right. I should trust the system.
Poorly articulated.
Trust Cole's system. He trusts mine. I should trust his. No, I knew getting into it was going to be pretty amazing. And then once I started actually researching Batman, I was like, all right, we got a whole thing on our hands.
Yeah.
Here. This is going to be awesome. So,
in fact, even more so than we realized.
Yeah, for sure. So why don't we plug it up and get up out of this piece and let these people have some rest with their own families and come back next week. What if Andrew was Cole and what if Cole was Andrew?
I don't even want to know. Right. Like, in fact, earlier today, I was thinking you often say how you want to live a certain amount of time in my mind, and I think, no, you don't.
No, you don't.
That's a what if you do not want to explore.
Right. It goes both ways, by the way.
That's true. So we're coming to you from the Jedi Cole universe at JediCole.com. You can write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com and check out our various Twitters and knitters and bitters and
right and that's
the mediating things there that Andy will tell you about.
I'll tell you about it. It's at HK Comics Show, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Get on there, interact, give us show ideas. We'll make special
don't forget to check out jasonmimosa.com, which will soon have its very first photograph.
That's true. It will. As soon as I have time to make jasonmimosa.com
and come to Jedi Cole's Morning After at AllCon, my panel of guests will be enjoying Jason Mimosa's live at AllCon on Sunday morning.
That's right. They sure as hell will.
Because I'm already concocting the recipe for the Jason Mimosa.
Very nice. Very nice. If you have recipes for the Jason Mimosa, please submit them on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the places that you would. Anything else you want to plug? What about Sundays? You want to plug your Sundays?
Oh, yeah. Every the first and third Sunday of every month over at DallasOnAir.com from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. on the third Sundays of every month, you can check out Isle of Toys, A-I-S-L-E. I'm veg after all that.
I know.
This has been a hell of an arc.
It's been a whole thing.
Check out Isle of Toys, 9:30, 10:30 a.m. on the third Sunday of every month. The first and third Sundays of every month from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. The Rantcore Pit Live, over 100 live streaming episodes and counting. One of the longest running shows on the network, and we've already exceeded the not live recorded Rancor Pit by over 25 episodes, so be sure and check that out. And just check out everything over at JediCole.com and at DallasOnAir.com. There's a lot of great shows. First Sunday of every month, Eddie Medina, my co-host from the Rancor Pit, he and his wife Colleen do Figments, the Unexplained Mysteries podcast, and our own Talk Lord of the Sith over at Rancor Pit Live, Zach is part of, I can't want to say What If, but where the hell his show is. They've got Next Issue, a comic book podcast. He's also part of another one that escapes me at the moment. Just a Sec.
Oh, okay. There you go.
And the Vagabond Nerds are over there. There's a lot of cool, fun, geeky stuff, so be sure and check all of that out at DallasOnAir.com, streaming live from beautiful downtown Dallas.
There you go. All right, well, we're going to let everybody go. Buy, collect, enjoy your comics. Share them with your family, even if your family is a weird uncle that dresses up in a costume like yours and claims he has powers when he does it. It might be PTSD. I'm not sure what the guy has, but just let him be. Yep, and that's what we got. So join us next week for more Hey Kids Comics. Say goodnight, Cole.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.